This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff McCausland, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, CBS News, author of Battle Tested, is here to help me sort through what appears to be the beginning of a crisis. That is the refugees, the migrants, those threatened coming out of Afghanistan, then everybody else who doesn't have a way of earning a living under the medieval regime of the Taliban. We have no reason to believe this is a kinder, gentler Taliban. Already there have been outrages of murders, of brutality, of torment, of mass murders. There are lots of anecdotes. We don't have to prove it. This is the Taliban. So we come to what is to be done about the refugees. Jeff, I've learned that there are 500,000 Afghans already in Turkey. They're in place trying to get into the European Union. There's a smaller group of Afghans in India. Europe is now telling us, especially Germany, that they're no longer deporting Afghan migrants from Germany. They'll stop the deportation. Other countries are saying the same thing. However, it's the U.S. and the NATO members who fought in Afghanistan these years who are in position to do something for these interpreters and everybody who worked for U.S. and ISAF contractor these many years. They have families. They want out. And the internal refugees, something must be done for them. They have to be fed. I understand an overwhelming majority of Afghans are on government assistance. That's how they survive. Is this, again, something that the administration, that the DOD anticipated, this refugee crisis?
Not at all. And again, the UN Special Envoy for Afghan Refugees said, we'll see scenes in Afghanistan that will be as bad as the worst days of Syria. And she just said that a few days ago. I mean, picture the possibility of right now in Afghanistan, a country which has had a dramatic increase in the COVID pandemic, that has suffered from a multi-year drought, that has put half of the population of the country, something around 18 million people, in need of humanitarian assistance. And then superimpose on that this intense combat that's been going on. There are estimates that there have been 400,000 additional refugees, at least internally displaced people, since 1 January, and perhaps one quarter of a million of those have been just since May. And those refugees are now flooding into Kabul, a city of 4 million, which hardly has the means to care for them. We've got nearly a million refugees in Iran already, and more refugees now flowing to the fighting. We have 1.5 million refugees in Pakistan, also more people flowing there. And as you rightfully point out, John, a real concern by the Europeans because of the presence of Afghan refugees in Turkey, that they may flow into the European Union, as we saw with Syria. Also, I have not seen any details or any thinking about any type of an airlift evacuation of those interpreters or others that worked for the U.S. or other NATO countries to get them out of Afghanistan. We certainly have offered them visas, but it looks like right now their ability to get out of the country and then begin the processing of that visa is up to them.
Who's the winner here, Jeff? Is there any winner anywhere in the region, around the world, anybody benefiting from this collapse?
Thinking that, well, of course, many would say the Taliban are the winners, but that will be made to be seen as well. Zal Khalilzad, our special envoy, has been dispatched to Doha to make it clear to the Taliban right now that if they don't negotiate and they are successful in capturing back the capital and taking over the country, they will be isolated in the international community. There'll be no humanitarian assistance, no international aid, no international trade, no international loans. In an effort to leverage them diplomatically now, since we don't have any military power, to come to the negotiating table. That, I think, is unlikely to succeed. In the short term, the Russians and the Chinese might be seen to be successful because they can point at this as a great failure by the United States, a failure in credibility, and particularly point that out to countries in the region. But longer term, they're concerned, again, about Islamic fundamentalism, either in Western China with the Uyghurs, or the Central Asian Republics, as we mentioned a moment ago, with the Russians, and the flow of drugs and narcotics that might flow as well. Pakistan is another country which has been a supporter of the Taliban, but now the Taliban being successful will trigger more and more refugees, more and more drug flows, and ultimately probably a resurrection of the Pakistani Taliban, which at one point threatened stability in Pakistan itself.
I was quick before to make the declaration that the Taliban have not changed. We have about a minute, Jeff. What is your measure of the Taliban today here in 2021? Are they going to conduct themselves as they did in the 20th century?
I see no reason to believe that they will change from what we saw in the past. And the evidence, as you suggest, John, is spot on in terms, anecdotally at least, of what we've heard as they move back into towns, revenge killing, burning down of schools, forcing women to wear traditional Islamic dress. That being said, it's interesting that we've seen in major cities the outpouring of people chanting in support of the government. It's a different population in 2021 than it was in 2001. It's a different Taliban leadership. Whether they'll take some measure of that along the lines of what Khalilzad is urging to moderate their past performance in an effort to have some contact with the international community, only time will actually tell.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired. He is CBS News. He's the author of, most recently, Battle Tested, about Gettysburg. But right now, Battle Tested about Afghanistan seems as necessary. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.